Glenn Maxwell ends the test in style. Six to him, victory to Australia. A tremendous win by 7 wickets with a day to spare. And Australia level this 2-match series, 1 apiece.
They needed to, and we wanted to see them turn things around. A better pitch for them, there's no doubt, in Chittagong. And Chris Barrett is joining us now. G'day, Chris.
Morning, guys. And I hear you discussing all the bunker-related issues. I guess cricket's DRS looks like a perfect system by comparison right now, doesn't it?
Can't hear
as much drama.
Chris, I guess, I've made the comparison often. I mean, I watched a lot of that series. I really enjoyed it because I found the contest enthralling with the ball having a chance of beating the bat. But there were many, many, many decisions overturned from the umpires with the DRS, yet we don't want to hang the cricket umpires from the yardarm in the town square or call for a stoning.
It has gone down that way in the past. But, yeah, look, I tend to think that in cricket, you don't find your players or coaches blaming referees for the actual result. They might moan about a particular decision, but obviously what's happened in the league on the weekend is they're actually pinning their elimination from the competition on a series of decisions, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, on the footy, because you've reviewed the games, mate, with Adam Bengilly, what is your view? How wrong did they get it, and what sort of aftermath should there be?
But I mean, I probably think Trent Barrett's slightly stiff, isn't he, to be considered in the same ballpark as Shane Flanagan. I think Flanagan's going to get breached on multiple counts because he's had a go in a couple of interviews, and Cronulla have put something on their website having a crack at the NRL as well. But I think, you look at Cronulla's performance, they've made, I think, 17 errors or something like that.
Yep. And 31 missed tackles, blah.
Yeah, they've had every chance to sort of even the scores up at the death, and, Andrew Fifita run sideways when they, could have been getting in a position to pot a field goal to square it up. So if you look at those, Flanagan identified 10 errors that he reckons the referees made. I think he walked us through about 7 or 8. I think you can probably pick out 2 maybe that were definitely bad calls, but, they were definitely beneficiaries as well of a couple of bad calls going the other way, so... Look, these things you got to roll with them, don't you? And if you're making that many errors and you haven't played that convincingly, I'm not sure you can necessarily ping the result on what the referees are doing.
Sure, Chris, but for someone who, like us here, we cover multiple sports and you cover multiple sports as well, Todd Greenberg, one thing he has got right is the difference in culture and the fact that the default position just to jump on the referee exists in rugby league, unlike any other sport I know.
It does. And, look, at least cricket, while there'll be a bit of, whinging behind the scenes on occasion if things don't go their way, you have a situation where, you're not allowed to go up and blow up in the referee, in the umpire's face, like you can on the field, I guess, in rugby league. I mean, you're going to get wiped out for a game or two, probably, if you approach an umpire in that fashion. And that's an age-old sort of tradition, isn't it? That respect shown to the guys adjudicating play. So, rugby league is a bit different in that sense. I don't know. Look, I think probably I've seen issues in English football, in soccer, where the referees aren't treated with a great deal of respect either. But I think in other sports, yes, the coaches tend to roll with the punches a little bit more. I don't want to be too broad brush about it because it's not like it's been coaches whinging all year. I mean, there's been a couple of them fined, but I think it's really probably hit a crescendo over the weekend with those couple of incidents here.
Now, Chris, Bangladesh, we wanted to see improvement for the first test match. I think we were all hurting for the players and a bit critical of lack of learning. I suppose their recent tools, they didn't seem to pick up any strong batting pointers, but we did see that in the second test match.
Yeah, so I reckon, looking back at it as a whole, they were pretty poorly prepared, not by their own fault necessarily. I mean, they lost that tour match due to the weather.
Yes.
So they've come in on the back of, a week-long camp in Darwin, which is, as best of preparation as probably they could hope for in Australia for that sort of conditions. So, Bangladesh, obviously, as they keep showing, are not an easy team to beat at home. So, you know, when they went away, I actually wouldn't have thought 1-1 was a particularly bad result. And if I weigh it up next to how Australia's gone in other recent series in Asia, particularly in, against Pakistan, the UAE, and against Sri Lanka, which were, you know, abject failures, then you have to actually consider a reasonable result, probably not quite as good as the 2-1 defeat to India, or certainly not quite as good as that. But, I mean, I think Australia can take positives out of it. And you know, it's not just about looking at it on face value and saying we've lost a test match to Bangladesh. Further than that, I think if you take a world view, it's a fantastic result for test cricket as a whole. But who would have thought when they went over there that we would have been thinking, it's a shame we haven't got a third test here to decide the series. So is a series that during the Paytas bid, if you remember a month or two ago, was sort of seen as expendable, wasn't it? I mean, we were thinking, well, if Australia don't go to Bangladesh, it's no skin off anyone's nose. It's this one-day series in India that's the really important one commercially. And of course, Australia are there now, about to start that one. But I just think it was a nice result for world cricket. And, you know, next time Australia's scheduled to go to Bangladesh, hopefully it won't be another 10 years, I think there'll be a lot more anticipation about it.
I hope that victory in the second test doesn't wallpaper over some of the cracks. Chris, get your opinion. I still think we're a batsman short. We've got 3 Shield games before the opening test match against England in the Ashes series. I reckon if you're a top 6 batsman who puts his hand up, you're every chance of being selected, or maybe not.
I reckon you're dead right. I think it's the carbon copy of last summer where they, or at least last summer after they made the big changes when I think they brought Maddison in, didn't they? But you know, Glenn Maxwell was probably, you know, going to get given first go at it if he can make a few runs in those Shield games. And look, I must say, it'd be good to see him get a run in a test match at home. He's been in and out of the test side. I reckon he deserves an opportunity in Australia. But as you say, I think they need to bat deep. And he will need to make some runs in those Shield games. You know, the other thing that they'll be working out is whether they keep Matthew Wade. I saw that Darren Lehman wasn't entirely definitive about that. I was actually talking to Peter Neville at the New South Wales cricket launch the other night, and he's far too well-mannered a man to be complaining about the way he was axed, etc., last year. But, you know, I think, obviously, we've talked about it on this show before, you know, I think they probably made the wrong call there. I'd like to see him back in the side. I'm not sure whether they will go ahead and do that. And I guess the other big issue they've got to work out is how they fit those quick bowlers in. If Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood and Pattinson are all fit, you know, and I mean, we've gone well past the days of thinking about leaving Nathan Lyon out of an 11 or worth thought. So that's going to be a bit of a quandary for him as well.
Oh, Nathan Lyon, mate, how good is he?
Well, he just keeps getting better, doesn't he? I mean, you know, I just wonder whether we'll only consider how good he was in the cold light of day after he's well and truly retired. I mean, he's starting to get some of the dues he deserves. I mean, he's just putting the numbers up on the board that you know, you can't even argue about now. As I said, we're getting past, we've got past the period where he's going to become somehow dispensable at any point in time.
Yes, exactly,
you know,
right.
There's test matches, I suppose, in Brisbane and Perth, where you can think about 4 quicks and that, but you know, he's played well on those services as well. So he's just gone fantastically, and you know, the numbers are telling the story.
Yep. 6 PM Sunday, mate. The first of the ODIs against India. India are short price favourites here, $1.67 up against the Aussies, $2.20. This will be a belter of a series, and millions and millions of people will be watching.
Yeah, and this is, you know, Australia's. He's got a few players out, but India do as well. I noticed Ashwin and Jadeja aren't playing in the ODI side of it, so that's probably an advantage in some way over there. There's a couple of interesting elements for the Australians as well. I mean, obviously trying to get back to number one in the world in that format where they were for quite a long time. Patrick Cummins is sort of the out-and-out fast bowler in the side, and what'll be interesting is how they handle him. I think, you know, in the lead-up to the Ashes series, he's you know, been such a... played such a role for Australia in the test side over in Bangladesh. So they've got Faulkner back there after he was axed from the Champions Trophy, and Kane Richardson and Nathan Coulter-Niles. So they'll probably have to take up a bit of the slack, I reckon, at some point for Cummins. And, you know, the other issue, I guess, that's pending is who bats at number 4. you know, Moses Enriquez batted there in the Champions Trophy. He's not on the tour. So I would have thought perhaps Travis Head, maybe Marcus Stoinis might be thrust into that position. Obviously it's one of the big lead ups before they get back and get ready for this Ashes series. It's only 2.5 months away, or less than 2.5 months away. So once the NRL's out of the way, everyone will be starting to get wound up for that, I imagine.
Absolutely, mate. We'll talk again then. It's not that England haven't got their problems either. No. So it's going to be an interesting Ashes. We thank you, Chris.
Good on you, guys.